Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name's Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. I have a very special guest today. In fact, it's Dr. Michael Maiden, who's my pastor. You are my local church pastor, and it's so wonderful to have you with us today, Dr. Michael.
Thank you, Patricia. It's really my honor to be with you, my favorite person in the world. Thank you so much.
You have blessed me so much. And, you know, we at XP believe in the local church, and especially believers' participation in the local church, where you can come together, where you can fellowship, where you can have your love tested, where you can be equipped for service and covered in your service. And I want to thank you for being such an encourager to me personally, but also to our whole ministry. You've done nothing but encourage us, and we're so blessed to know you and to be a part of CFTN. And in fact, if any of you are out in the Phoenix area on a Sunday, you'll want to attend our church, Church for the Nations. And but you're also a prophet. You're also an apostle. In fact, you are the leader of an entire network, a global network. You are pastor, prophet, apostle, and much more. So let's talk about that for a moment, that people can have multi-giftings within them. Do you want to share your insight on that?
Jesus is just so good. I can't believe all those things are happening. You know, Patricia, I just found out when we start out with whatever we have, and if we're just really faithful to Him, He just gives us more. I started with nothing. Was a shy person, couldn't public speak. God gave me that grace of boldness, the prophetic grace, 35 years ago. Just been faithful, and He keeps increasing and blessing things, and I'm deeply humbled by it all, and just overwhelmed sometimes when I think about what the Lord's done, taking a nothing, really, and just putting so much into my life. He's wonderful.
And I think that's a prophetic word for a lot of our viewers today. In fact, as you were sharing, I just felt this one bubbling up inside of me, that there's someone watching, maybe a number of you, that you're feeling, well, I just feel like I'm a nothing. He's describing what I feel. But, you know, God plus nothing equals everything that we need. You get ready because you're about ready to be catapulted. And that's what's happened to you recently. You just got catapulted into this global ministry. And it was after you authored a book on Seven Mountain Strategy. And that's what I'd like to focus on this program today, Dr. Michael, because sure, you have so much insight into it. But we believe that the fire of God, the revival power of God, the awakening of God, the emergence of His power is going to hit these seven mountains of influence in society. So why don't you share what's on your heart with that?
Well, it's a very exciting time in history, because I feel like God's restoring everything that Christ came to bring to us, and everything the Bible teaches us about the kingdom of God. And the church for too long has preached the message of Christ, which is wonderful: salvation, repentance, heaven, and living for God. But we haven't preached the message Christ preached. He preached the kingdom of God is here.
Totally.
And He said, when you pray for that kingdom to come from heaven to here. Pray for things to change. And we've been good at demonizing a fallen culture for being wrong instead of demonstrating a heavenly culture that is right.
Wow.
And God wants
powerful
to show the world. So the seven mountains of culture is just a portrait of the kingdom of God, how it translates into real life living, how that God is a destiny for everyone. I love to be around you. You're one of the most passionate people I've ever met. And you're always just going. It's because you have found your purpose, both in loving Christ and in fulfilling the purpose He has for your life. Well, that same purpose that drives and excites you and I, God has for every single person.
Right.
And the church for too long has just offered them no choices. Either you're called to the ministry, or else poor people go get a secular job.
Right.
But in the kingdom of God, everybody's called.
Come on.
They're called to business.
Come on.
They're called to arts and media, government, education. They're called to be world shakers and history makers. That's the call for every person. And when you find your call, when you find your purpose, it erupts in passion. God will give you a fire for that mountain to go and bring the kingdom of God there, to go to bring the love of Christ and to heal broken people there.
I love it. Because we're all called to influence. It would be like, here we've got this river on the inside of us, and not influencing the life around us would be like having a dammed up river.
Right.
Like, and that's just going to go stagnant. And so to keep even our own life fresh, we need to release that which is within us. So can you define again, just clearly, the seven mountains of influence, but also maybe add in just a little description, so just in case it's new to some of our viewers,
sure,
that they will know what those influences are.
Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 give the exact same prophecy. A rare time in Scripture when God says the same things to two different prophets verbatim, and it says this: in the last days, says God, I will establish in a mountain above all the other mountains, a heavenly mountain, a kingdom mountain.
Right.
And that mountain will reign, and that mountain will teach the other mountains. And people will come and say, let's run to the mountain of God. And it's a portrait of the kingdom of God affecting mountains, and Bibles are portraits of kingdoms or realms of influence. And so in the last days, God says, I'm going to bring my kingdom to all the world. So every mountain of culture, about 30 years ago, two great men, Lauren Cunningham and Bill Bright, the founders of YWAM and Campus Crusade, were having a breakfast. And the night before, God had spoken to both of them about the seven areas of life that you need to affect to transform a culture, to transform a nation. And they are the family, religion or the church, business, government, education, arts, and media. And in those seven jurisdictions, those seven mountains of culture, those seven spheres of influence, our lives are lived. Every person in any place in the world will spend their life in one or more of those seven mountains. So the kingdom of God is bringing God's influence to those places and raising up people that are trained and equipped. That's the way we're going to reach the world, by sending people into government, by sending people into business, by training them in the church, training them through the powerful ministries that you have, equipping them to be world shakers and history makers, to fulfill their destiny, to find what they were made. Everyone has an inheritance in one of those mountains. And when you find out what you're made for, you'll come alive. You can't wait to wake up. I can't wait to serve God every day, because I'm not just serving God, I'm fulfilling my purpose.
I love
So purpose equals passion. That's where fire comes from. That's where self-motivation comes from. That's where a heavenly desire comes from. So those seven mountains represent kind of the mission of the kingdom. Go into all the world, make disciples, Christ said, of the nations.
Amen.
So we've been working on people, but Jesus said, change people, but change culture.
Mm-hmm.
So the church has been praying, God, get us out of here. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And God says, no, get in there and make it better and better
and
better.
That's it.
We can't heal things
hate.
We can't help the world when we act like we hate them or are afraid of them. So instead of being afraid and fighting against the sinful culture, we're called to heal it and change it. And we do that by the Holy Spirit, who has empowered every one of us. So we're definitely at a turning point in history where God's awakening the church, God's stirring us to make a difference, God's empowering us and revealing the mountains of culture He's assigned our lives for.
Wow, that was a good preach. That was awesome. And you know, even like a lot of times, like women at home, for example, they sometimes think that, well, I don't have a ministry, I'm just at home, I'm just, but that is a mountain of influence. In fact, one of the most important ones, because if the family deteriorates and is not strong, then everything else is going to collapse as well. But if we can start to see, like I was just with Dr. Che An and his wife Sue on this last weekend, and you know, Sue has really cultivated this this family values, not only in their own home, but in their church, and now in a global apostolic network. So she actually grew from her family anointing and focus, spread it into their local congregation, and now is spreading it into the entire network. So the network itself of ministries, including marketplace ministers and, you know, government leaders that have joined the network and that, they all have this value of strong marriage and family. Because it was cultivated on an individual level. And it's like with you, like you are a powerful prophet. And for those of you, those of our viewers who have not you know, heard your prophetic words. They're very, very weighty and extremely accurate. But you just took that because it was a gifting and it was something you valued and you cultivated it and it became stronger and stronger and stronger. So it wasn't no longer just in your own circle of friends you were prophesying, not only your local church, but like big global words that were spreading out all over. But it was through faithfulness. Yeah. And so even with like, if someone just maybe is a person with a small business, that could be their mountain of influence that they could end up influencing nation after nation after nation.
Right. Because one person in their assignment from God, God will give them undefeatable authority and uncommon favor. And the mountain is, that the first mountain is family. It's the most important one. If we don't win victories there, then we don't really have enough moral authority to transfer the kingdom of God to other places. So before Gideon could go out and change the world, God told him, go up there and kill your daddy's devil. Go up there and tear down your daddy's idol. If you can overcome your family's spirit, you can overcome the nation's spirit. If you can break the curse over your family, you can break the curse over a nation. So family is first. Really, the family and the church are the incubators for destiny. They're the training centers for all the other mountains. And so Satan attacks family in order to destroy destiny. So because Satan knows if he can harm people early, create dysfunction in their home, what happens? They lose their identity. They lose their destiny. And the same in the church. When the church doesn't fulfill its mission to train people, to equip them for the seven mountains, the church becomes irrelevant to the culture. We complain, oh, the church, you know, the world's ignoring us. That's because we're not offering them any solutions.
There you go.
But when the best business people, when the best artists, when the best educators, when the best government leaders, when the best families come out of the church, the world will flood to it. See, the kingdom of God is so appealing. It's so wonderfully attractive to the world. If we can just get back to the kingdom, we'll find the world getting back to us.
Oh, powerful. You know, I just have a word just before we take a break, because I want you to know how you can get Dr. Michael Maiden's book on the Seven Mountains of Influence. It's a very, very powerful book. But what I sense right now is that there's a woman watching this program right now, and you've been feeling like, you know, just like you have no purpose. And something just got ignited in you. You think, I never thought that my even place in the family could be my purpose. But God just sparked that in you. And I prophesy over you the emergence of authority and love and creativity and prophetic solutions, not only within your own household and the realm of influence that you have through that household, but I see it expanding. I see teachings coming forth from your heart. I see you sharing things with other people. I see you actually founding a group that is going to get people of like spirit together, that is literally going to transform your community. So we'll be right back with more after this break.
But Christ hung his head on the cross of Calvary, and he said, it is finished.
And the multitudes gave their hearts to Jesus Christ, and the sick were healed.
The Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, these eyes have been crossed since this girl was born.
The glory that's on this man. This man is getting something more, I'll tell you. That is the power of the Holy Ghost.
Who's opening the eyes of the blind and causing the lame to walk and the deaf to hear?
They're coming out from every nation. Something is happening. Something is happening.
We have an opportunity at this time in church history to be the first company of its kind.
The mystery of Christ is so great. We will never be able to touch all of him until he comes and makes himself known to us.
I believe it's God's word. I believe he died on the tree and shed his blood that I might have life and have it more abundantly.
He is going to conquer the darkness through his church.
All the forces of hell will not stop this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Dr. Maiden, before the break, we just started touching on the whole power of the influence of the church as being one of the most significant mountains that we need to possess and occupy. That mountain, of course, is to possess and occupy religion in the earth as well, but it starts with a strong church body, doesn't it?
Yes. The local church is the kingdom of God's number one way to transform culture. So it's the incubator for Christlikeness, for training of every part, the family, government, business, the world, arts, all those things. And the exciting thing, Patricia, in our lifetimes, for the first time in 1,700 years, God has restored to the church prophets and apostles, the two most powerful and primary equipping agencies and graces and gifts in the church. So we live in a time when God has invested every kind of heavenly power, heavenly truth and heavenly grace available. Mm-hmm. It's been restored to the church. So the church is going to emerge in these next years will be a church like the early church,
so
only
exciting.
Better, because we have 2,000 years of history and momentum and growth and truth. So this time in history is so wonderful. So the church is changing. We're in a wineskin change. And in this new wineskin, God's adding apostolic leadership and prophetic voices, prophetic anointings to pastors and evangelists and teachers. And now that picture of the fivefold ministry, that's how God equips people. That's the great training center. That's the place where people's destiny are discovered, where they grow to be like Christ, their homes are healed, their lives are transformed when those things happen. So the church is in an important moment in history. It's dynamic. And so I want to encourage people, don't give up on the church. God's not done. He doesn't have a plan B, just like he doesn't have a plan B for mm-hmm. marriage. Marriage is God's answer for the family. The church is God's answer for believers. And be praying for your pastor and leaders. God's beginning to really awaken inside much of the church our desperate need to be involved in what he's doing apostolically. An apostle in the Bible, when Christ used that phrase to introduce it, it was a Roman general, apostolos, who would go to a newly conquered region to bring the culture of Rome.
Wow.
And he would bring with them the ecclesias, people that were from that area that had learned the mind of Caesar and the ways of Rome. They would go and change the culture, law, education, arts. They would all begin to reflect Rome. So when Caesar would come years later, that city would look just like Rome. Well, Jesus is coming for heaven on earth. Jesus is coming for his kingdom built by the church, by apostolic leadership. So this is such an exciting time.
It is such an exciting time. And we're actually seeing that happen. I know that when we were over in Cambodia, a year and a half ago or so, we saw such a need in one of the areas where a lot of the children were being trafficked. And there was no viable church there. There was no solid church that really believed in Jesus and the Word and was exercising that. And so we planted one. And, we had elders from our church, from CFTN and different leaders from around the world that we converged together and said, let's go for it. So now, just out of that one little church, and it's still small and growing, we're able to influence the mindsets of that next generation.
Yes.
Which is going to change. It's going to bring light into the darkness, and already is, just in the short time that it's been there. We can see shifts. It doesn't have that gross darkness in that place anymore. You can feel the difference. And so this is very important in this hour that we, the church, rise up and do the work that we are called to do in Jesus.
Amen. And I'm very proud of you, Ms. Patricia, for what you're doing to help the children and the women bound in sexual slavery. That's the very heart of God. I'm always impressed how quickly you are to obey God and following his heart for hurting people around the world. And I'm deeply moved also that as a real prophet of God, that you've been able to forgive the church over the years for hurting you. Even when I hurt you years ago, you've been so loving and forgiving. And you call me your pastor, and it's kind of like I've run into Hopkins, people that come to my church that don't really need, but recognize the concept of authority, the concept of the local church, mm-hmm. and want to participate in the body of Christ. I admire you for being a prophetic voice mm-hmm. that comes under authority, because you're showing the young generation, these young prophets who have a tendency maybe to say, we don't need the church is backward, mm-hmm. they're not cutting edge and all those things. But we have to model to them a healthy Amen. Interaction between apostles and prophets, between the local Amen. Church and international ministries, between prophetic voices mm-hmm. and pastoral gifts. So Amen. You're doing that. Oh, I applaud you for you. It.
Thank you. You know, everyone makes mistakes. And just because you're a leader doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. We're just like everyone else, yeah. right? And I know that some people have been hurt in the church. There are people who have been hurt by leaders, and there are leaders who have been hurt by their congregations. Yeah. You know, it's just the carnal nature of man
right.
Can hurt others. Hurting people hurt others. But it's very important that we forgive and trust God.
Yeah.
And it's very important that we learn to love. And Jesus didn't give up when mistakes were made.
Right.
And he had lots of mistakes made against him. But he didn't give up. He continued to love. And that's what I love about the body of Christ. I adore the body. I love the church. And we are growing together. We're learning together. And we have a long ways to go until we become just like Jesus, but we help each other. And with pastors like yourself who are so encouraging and so humble, even if you do make, you know, a mistake, you make it right. You know, it's just the way you are. And that's what makes people safe. And I believe that this kingdom that we serve is going to become more and more manifest within the people if we will group together, if we don't disband. We don't need to scatter at this hour. We need to come together and be patient with the process that we have in one another and the process that God is working,
that's true.
Working through in us.
Yeah, and I just want to encourage people to come back to local churches and to be engaged, to forgive pastors that have hurt you, and pastors forgive people that have hurt you. It's like a family. My wife and I have been married 35 years, but there's been a lot of forgiveness in those 35 years. That's what keeps us together. That's what gives us fresh starts. And that's what allows us to go forward because we let go of our past. And so God's doing an exciting thing. Don't give up on the church. The greatest hour of the church in history is just beginning to dawn now. It's a new day. It's a very exciting time for God's kingdom, for you, for God's purpose, for everyone who has a hunger for God.
That is powerful. That is a powerful word, and I believe it. I think we have time just to give maybe a couple of prophetic words if you're picking up any word of knowledge for one of our viewers, because I'm getting one right now, actually, for someone who's watching this. You're a pastor, and you know that you're a pastor at heart, but you stepped out of your pastorate a while ago because of hurts from the congregation. And they were big issues. They were hurtful. But God's let you have this time to reevaluate things, to look at some things, and he's healing your heart. But it's time to get back on the saddle. He has need of you.
I have a word for someone. I actually think it's a family. And because of something that went wrong in the church, there was the feeling of shame and the feeling of being really abused by the process of how things were dealt by leadership to you. And I just want to say over you, God's not mad at you, and God's not angry with you. And sometimes leaders can misrepresent and misconstruct God's opinion or God's mind and God's heart for you. And if you'll forgive those leaders, and if you'll forgive what happened to you, God will reattach you to a healthy group of people. And don't let someone else's pain stop you from your purpose in life. As you forgive people, you're going to find that release. Your whole family is going to get plugged back in, and joy is going to replace kind of the sorrow and the regret that has been occupying you for these past weeks.
Thank you so much. And I think so many are out there in that situation, and it's their time to come home.
Yeah,
it's their time to return. So I know that that word is going to minister to so many. We're so glad that you are here. We're so glad that you are watching this program right now, because God's hand is on you. He wants to use you to move mountains and to conquer them, to possess them, to occupy them. You might think, what, little old me? I don't know if I could possibly do anything significant. But your little, what you seemingly see as little, is so very vital. And so take that, let God breathe upon it, and let him bring you into the fullness of all that he has for you. We're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back.
They're coming out from every nation. Something is happening. Something is happening.
We have an opportunity at this time in church history to be the first company of its kind.
We will never be able to touch all of him until he comes and makes himself known to us.
I believe it's God's word. I believe he died on the tree and shed his blood that I might have life and have it more abundantly.
He is going to conquer the darkness through his church.
All the forces of hell will not stop this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Well, welcome back. We just have a few moments left in the program, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today, and I know that a lot of what Dr. Michael has shared has really ministered to you. But Dr. Michael, just as we're closing, can you share something? I just believe you've got some encouragement about the business mountain.
It's so exciting what God's doing today. God is empowering business people to not feel guilty for having a job or having a career and having a vision and dream for that career. God puts a passion inside of people to be entrepreneurs or to be successful in their enterprise. That's from God. God wants to affect people. So in the business mountain, God's doing a great thing, a great prophecy, Patricia, that's going to come true in our lifetime is from the book of Proverbs. And it says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up, stored up for the just. We are on the verge of the greatest wealth transfer in human history. It's going to happen because of people in the business mountain that are kingdom-minded, that are sold out to Christ. My son, Matthew, was one of our pastors a couple years ago, and I started preaching these things on the Seven Mountains, and he said to me, Dad, I feel called to be in business, not just the church. And so I said, okay, let's pray about it. Well, next Sunday, someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, Pastor Matt, do you feel like you're supposed to be in business? And that man gave my son a $100,000 a year business for free. Now my son's a successful businessman, employing people and just having fun, getting up at 4, just working like crazy. And I just want to encourage people that God has a plan for their life. And for you that are in the business mountain, have a dream, have a desire, I just pray in Jesus' name for God's favor, for God's wisdom, for God's guidance in your life, that you would feel the heavenly support, that you would feel God saying, go for it, go for it, go for it, that you would be like Peter, that your nets would become full. Invite Christ into your world, your life, your business, and watch what he will do for you in the mountain of business.